Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
She has really done everything with her family, from living in a converted van to learning about herself through nature and mindfulness and embodiment. And I really like how she sums up herself with this. She says, "My goals are to always put family first, seek presence, maintain a growth mindset, and choose joy." And Laura, I just want to say, since I have learned about you, I have recommended you to dozens of people already, and I'm very excited to hear what you have for us today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's such a treat. I know Rafe personally, and when he reached out and I started to learn more about this conference, I got super excited, and I'm truly incredibly honored to be a part of it, and to get to share a little bit about my story, how I came to kind of embrace mindfulness and movement as so deeply interconnected, and how it's really healed my relationship with fitness and therefore with my body, and has totally kind of helped me come full circle and more in tune and mindful, and really bridging the gap between physicality and emotional and mental state as well. So thank you for having me. It's such a treat. And so from here, I guess I just get to take it away. So thank you everyone for being here. I'm so grateful. I see, gosh, a solid group here, and it's such a treat. And those of you watching, maybe after the fact with the recording, I am here to just kind of begin to, like I mentioned earlier, bridging the gap between physicality and the mind, and helping, because I believe that my story is not unique, truthfully. We all kind of like to believe that we are unique individuals, as we definitely are, but we also, one thing that brings us together kind of as humanity is our shared experiences. And I have talked to so many people since kind of living out my story, starting to share more, starting to become more vulnerable and open about my unhealthy relationship with movement and fitness. And where that brought me, and that trajectory is not something I would ever change, but it did bring me to a place of really disease physically, chronic pain, lack of a cycle, a healthy period, hormonally imbalanced, infertile, and deep, kind of just this deep pits of A-type, over-controlling, super stress. And a lot of that actually was because of my obsessive nature when it came to fitness. I overtrained. I think many people here potentially either have lived out this out themselves or know someone who has become in many ways addicted to exercise, to the point where I truly lost touch with any sort of intuitive ability to move my body, any sort of connection between what my body actually needed and what I was doing at that point, truly doing to it with fitness. And the mindful nature of movement for me was totally lost. And it wasn't until I was able to come full circle and find and discover that mindfulness and movement are so deeply interconnected. And so that connection is so important for true holistic health and wellness. It wasn't until I found that and made that connection through a combination of shifting my movement and seeking out a mindfulness-based therapist and then bringing those two things together, that I got out of chronic pain, that I really found like my calling and my direction in life, that I was able to then conceive my daughter, build a career that I love, and then go on to be able to help other people. And it's been incredibly life-changing for me. And so I want to come here today and share that with you because I think it's an incredibly important message to share. And if I can help one other person, two other people, a dozen other people maybe find that that connection between mindfulness and movement and the ways that we can truly repair and heal and thrive through that connection, that's my goal. And that's why I'm here today. And that's why I share what I do and teach what I do. And what it comes to for me is something that I've kind of summed up in one word, not trademarked or anything, but this is the word that I come to and that I utilize and that I share, and it's flow. And so for me, that connection between mind and body has come to be the physical embodiment of my daily movement practice. It's a non-negotiable for me. As Ricky mentioned, I spend a lot of time on the road. So my family, after having my daughter when she turned 18 months, we sold our home in Santa Cruz, California. We bought a partially converted van and had it fully converted, sort of to our needs at least. And we traveled the country. So we lived in it for about a year and a half, and we left Santa Cruz and did a nationwide trip. Brought ourselves all the way out to New York City, Manhattan, Portland, Maine, and came all the way back, did the whole Pacific Northwest, and we did the Colorado, Montana, all the way Pacific Northwest and back and down and around. And we've settled now after a series of events, fire evacuations, all of this, a lot of life stressors, which many of us have experienced in 2020, back full circle to the Pacific Northwest, where I first met Rafe and actually where a lot of my healing first began. And so I share all that because I think it's really important to note that if I hadn't have experienced life in the way that I did and hadn't have had an unhealthy relationship with fitness that then came full circle, found more mindful movement, healed my body, gained my fertility, had my daughter, and then set myself up to truly be, in my opinion, the most adaptable version of myself prior to this whole experience of living nomadically and then going into 2020 and having all of the challenges that we've been hit with. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of us move our bodies and why a lot of us seek fitness, whether we know it or not, on some level, it's to attain adaptability. Because the whole reason why we pursue fitness truly is for adaptation, right? We want to challenge our bodies to kind of take our bodies to the limits of our physical potential in order to continually adapt and improve and build strength and build mobility and build core stability and build a better relationship with our bodies. I wouldn't have made that connection necessarily back in 2015 when I really pursued fitness for the aesthetic, if I'm being honest. I wanted to be able to compete. I wanted to look a certain way. And I had totally lost that connection of the fact that I actually was making my body far less adaptable, was living in chronic pain because of my obsession with fitness. Come full circle, and I'll get to kind of how I came full circle soon, but I realized that I had lost sight of that. And in actuality, the reason why I want to move my body on a daily basis is to be more adaptable. And that adaptability then allowed me to maintain my movement practice and therefore my mindfulness practice as we traveled the country with a toddler in tow, came across all these different challenges. Sometimes didn't know where we were going to be sleeping, didn't know where we were going to like settle for the evening, having to constantly act on our toes, my body stayed well. I stayed healthy. I stayed fit. I stayed pain-free. And I was able to continue my movement practice mindfully throughout this whole experience, not needing a really impressive gym setup, not needing a barbell or all this different equipment. I just was able to use my body because I was in tune with it. And I was mindful of the ways that it can move. And I was proud of the ways that it can move. And I just fully kind of came to this new realization and appreciation for my body because of mindfulness-based therapy and because of a better appreciation and understanding of the ways our body moves and because of truly conceiving and then birthing my daughter medication-free and growing to love it and appreciate it more for what all the things that it can do and all the ways that it can adapt. So I wanted to just share that part of my story in hopes that it might touch someone. And if it's not necessarily relative to your story, maybe someone that you know who could kind of hear those words and kind of come to that maybe full circle moment where they realize how important adaptation is. And so that movement practice that I was able to take with me on the road and has served me so well through, as I mentioned, nomadic living. And then we were actually living, came full circle, moved back in the Santa Cruz Mountains, got evacuated for a month and a half because of fires. We were able to return to our home only to find that the water was contaminated. There's a lot of things that made it not feel safe. So now over the course of the last month, we lived in the van again and then moved up. And now we're full circle back in the Pacific Northwest, which is super fun. And so here we are. And through all of that, I've maintained my flow. And so the way that I've created this flow is to be a non-negotiable in my own life, is that my first thing every single morning, right, even when I was brand new postpartum, is to take that time for myself. So, and what it looks like is I start laying on the floor, and I've kind of created my flows and the movements that I incorporate, which changes on a daily basis depending on what my body's asking for, through my experience as a certified CrossFit trainer, through multiple dynamic neuromuscular stabilization courses. I was supposed to have done the women in yoga one, last month. It was rescheduled, so I'll get to do that one in May. And then my experience in just learning from colleagues, from my peers, and maintaining that growth mindset, always being open to learn, getting more in tune with my own body, listening to what it's actually asking for. Because if we take time to pause and listen to our bodies, they actually tell us how they want to move, where we need to focus our energy, where we need to take our breath to. And so it comes from a place of focusing on intra-abdominal pressure and building and reconnecting the diaphragm with the pelvic floor, which served me really well in the postpartum period and during pregnancy, but also everyone has a pelvic floor and we could all love on it a little bit more, as same with our diaphragm. For the women here, and also many men, a lot of times we're raised and taught through societal expectation that we are supposed to be really tiny through our middles, and in a constant kind of sucking in state, whether it's because of the clothes we're wearing or just our even unrealized just daily, the way we breathe, the way we hold our breath, the way we suck in, really kind of disconnecting our diaphragm, our pelvic floor, our body's ability to communicate. And that goes then into the more mental state of, if we're not really able to embrace the full potential of our breath, we also aren't able to fully release tension and release stress. And we hold on to that stress, we hold on to that tension. So by returning to the breath every single morning, which is a part of my, as I mentioned, non-negotiable practice, I am able to open up kind of these whole worlds of mindfulness and connection to my body first thing in the morning, which sets up my day to then be more in tune with what my body needs for the rest of the day. Do I need a little bit more intense exercise that day? Do I need to take it easy? Can I really embrace the creative outlets that I have? Or should I kind of go a little bit more inward and maybe it's a day to rest? And for females who still have a cycle, a menstrual cycle, this is also great at allowing us to better tune into that and what our bodies are asking for. But all humans are cyclical, and we all have different seasons of our life, of our day, of our week, where if we tune in a little bit more to the physicality, to how our bodies feel, to what our bodies tell us, we can also then tune more deeply into the mind and the soul and the emotions and what that connection between the two. So what I would love to do is take any questions on everything that I just said, and then actually walk us all through a flow and some of the main movements and breath work that I work into my own flow every single morning. And then to be able to move forward, and then I can take questions at the end too about any of the movements that we walked through. So if anyone has questions now, I'd love to answer. Anything yet or no?
There's nothing in there yet,
Laura. Nothing. Okay.
I did have a question though.
Okay.
Really, what was the motivation for going into the van? I find that so courageous. Because I have children. And so that's so brave, and I really respect that. What was the deal breaker for that? Or what was like the thing that cast you into it?
Yeah, it's so funny because I look back now and I realize a lot of patterns that I had. I don't know if anyone here has ever done Enneagram work at all, but I found it to be incredibly awesome. And you might have guessed at this point, I can see that you have, that I'm a seven. And so the sevens are like the adventure seekers, oftentimes running away from like pain or feelings or hard stuff. And so this whole kind of catalyst to go nomadic started back when I was in a little bit of an unhealthy mental and emotional state, when I was still kind of in chronic pain. And I got this idea and I was really tied to it. And I'm so grateful. I'm a big believer in not changing the trajectory of our lives, because I wouldn't change it for the world. I learned so much. I grew so much. My daughter had the most incredible experiences for that year and a half. And it's really helped to make her more adaptable. My husband and I grew closer. We learned a ton. We figured out where we really want to be. It's so funny that we're back full circle in the Pacific Northwest. But I think truly the catalyst for it was this kind of constant running, truthfully, like trying to kind of escape the discomfort of having to really tune in. And therapy helped a ton. Therapy actually was a catalyst to make the trip happen. And then I think as a byproduct of this trip and the nomadic life kind of helped me to work through a lot of things. So it was a weird combination of like kind of running from hard stuff in some ways. Because if I'm constantly moving, I don't have to face the stuff. But then by the time we actually took the trip and got out on the road, we left in 2018, I was in a much better headspace when it finally came to actualization. And I think there's a reason why we had initially started to get those wheels turning in 2016, but the trip didn't actually happen until 2018, partly because of my daughter. And so it ended up being the perfect timing, and I'm so happy we did it. But you know, we are very, very, very avid outdoor folk. We like to be in nature as much as possible, and we love good food and we can eat locally and seasonally and all of that. So it was kind of this perfect combination of hitting a bunch of national parks, getting outside a ton, and then also getting to really connect with local farmers and local restaurants. I will say one of the reasons we did it was to save money. We didn't, but it was so fun and something I'll never forget. And we still have our van. So now we're up here in the Pacific Northwest, but our goal is to really just like get out in it at least once a month. And it's great because we can camp in it seasonally all year round. I mean, because we are obviously in those four walls of the van. That's a good question. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. Love it. Okay. I saw there's one more. Okay, so the daily routine that I stick to. Yeah, that's a good segue. And so my daily routine is wake up. I try to let myself wake up when I wake up, and I find that my body's rhythms have really gotten to a place where I wake up naturally around 6 a.m. And that will change as it gets darker for longer, and hopefully I'll sleep in a little bit more. I'm trying to tune in. I feel like life demands so much of us, of alarms and deadlines and having to be certain places at certain times. And I know that it is somewhat of a privilege to be able to wake up when my body wants to most of the time. But I also find that it still ends up being pretty early as long as I prioritize sleep. So I wake up around 6, brush teeth, wash face, get dressed, and then I come to this floor right here. If it's nice out, I'll go outside on this mat. And I flow for anywhere from 5 minutes to 30, depending on how I'm feeling. I also teach one or two flows a day virtually. And so I always start my day with that, before coffee, before phone, before screen, before anything. I am on my mat, on the floor, and it always begins on my back with the breath. And that allows me to just slow my breathing down, to tune into my body. This is where I'll find and feel if I'm holding on to tension or pain in any part of my body, which then helps me move forward the rest of the day, tuning into that and remembering like, man, when I was flowing this morning, my hip just wouldn't release, and at my low back, my SI was just tight. So now I know that for the rest of the day, I'm not just going to sit all day. I don't typically anyways, but I want to make sure that I'm tuning into that and behaving accordingly and treating my body accordingly based on what I learn and what information I am able to take in from my flow in the morning. And then typically after flow, I'll maybe do a quick workout. My body feels ready and primed. I'll dive right into that. Maybe I love my mushroom coffee, that kind of thing. And then my daughter will usually wake up. I love getting this in before she does. And then we play breakfast. I get work done. I do work remotely. I own my own business, so I'm able to kind of be flexible there. But it really just sets the tone for my day. That's a great question. And my hope for this is to empower you guys with maybe some of these movements that we're going to do together, really feel really good in your body. So taking those and moving forward, and maybe tomorrow morning or maybe in the afternoon when you need a work break or whatever it is, whatever your day looks like, whenever this might work well for you, because what it is for me is not going to be exactly what it is for you. The goal is for you to take whatever you learn from me, from this whole conference, and really apply it in your own life in a way that serves you and serves your body and serves your soul and your mind and all of that.
And so let's do it. Question, yeah. Before you start, Laura, I thought this would be good before you start. The question is, what if you feel estranged from your body because of pain, because of body pain?
Oh my gosh, that's, I could bring me to the brink of tears because I was there for a long time. I was there. I felt like my body was so broken, and I felt like I was doing everything that I could to fix my body, and I was seeking it extrinsically. So I was always looking for the next, like, you know, subject matter expert or chiropractor or osteopath or Western medicine doctor, or that they got like the cortisone injections in my cervical spine, whatever. I was like, just fix me, someone fix me. And I lost all faith in my body. I lost all connection to my body. I didn't trust my body. I poured money on people to fix me. That fixing didn't happen until I reconnected with my body and trusted that it was going to heal itself. And what it did require was just, truthfully, I had to like step back from like fitness, barbells, any loads for a while, and just spend a lot of time walking outside in nature and breathing deep and growing to trust my body. And then a lot of time touching my body, hands on my belly, hands on my back, wherever it was hurting. And this flow process helped a ton because I'd start the day just me and my body. Couldn't escape it. Couldn't rely on somebody else. I just would lay on the floor. If something hurt, I would breathe into that space. And I think what helps there is like, if I'm having low back pain or neck pain or whatever it is, I will lay on my back. I will touch that part of my body, acknowledge it. I think there's a huge, both with physical pain and emotional pain, acknowledging the pain and not running from it, but sitting in it and sitting with it and feeling it and giving that pain space to exist and honoring it in some ways. I think we want to get out of pain. We hate pain. We want to disassociate ourselves from that pain, but our bodies are super wise and pain is there for a purpose. If something's hurting, it's our body just saying, hey, I actually need a little bit of love. Hey, this is going awry. How can we come together and solve this? I think there's a lot of power in kind of like, we are one, right? Our physicality, our mental state, our emotional, our soul, but there's also, we have different parts. And so sometimes different parts are communicating with each other. It's like, my heart isn't willing to acknowledge this pain because it's uncomfortable. But if we can kind of acknowledge, allow space for the pain and try and better understand why it's there, I think there's a lot of power in that. So there's a lot of power in touch, holding that spot, touching it, you know, breathe and really think about like sending the breath. So if I'm having SI pain, I'll sit with like a hand on my heart or on my diaphragm and on my low belly and I'll breathe. And then I might bring my hand back to where it's hurting and I will try and just like send the breath to that spot. And in doing so, the breath has a power to open up and to release, and it also has a power to acknowledge. And sometimes the acknowledgement is really hard, but it can be really healing. Awesome. Well, you guys, are you ready to flow? Let's slowly maneuver yourself. Hopefully you've got some space to move onto your backs. And I try to often avoid crunch type movements. So instead of just like doing a slow crunch back like that, what I like to see is maybe going onto a forearm and rocking yourself back. Because here, we're going to work on a lot of hip opening. We're going to work on a lot of intra-abdominal pressure on creating a cylinder with the breath. And then if we were to do all this work on our backs and then just do a crunch, it's going to just shorten up all this and kind of re-tighten it up. I'm a big believer in building core strength without spending a ton of time just doing crunches or sit-ups. I think there's a lot better, more powerful ways to build that strength. So I am going to just make sure you guys can see me okay here with this mat. Go ahead and roll onto your backs, feet on the ground. Bring your hands to your belly. And if it feels good to you, just lift your hips up a little bit and then let them go ahead and sink back down into the mat. You might feel a little bit of a release through your pelvis. Pick your shoulders up a little bit, pull your shoulder blades down, shoulders away from your ears. Bring one hand just below your belly button and one hand above, kind of on your diaphragm, right below where your ribs meet. And we're just going to sit here for a moment or two with the breath. I'm not going to dictate for these breaths how to breathe, what pace to breathe. Just pause here and breathe. And I know for a lot of us, this can be this in and of itself, just having our hands on our bellies. I've talked to especially a number of women who at first this feels really hard. And it could be for men too. But we're so often told that our worthiness, and whether we're told directly or indirectly, our worthiness is dependent upon the size of our body, the shape of our body, the tautness of our abdomen, but we're so much more than that. Our worthiness goes so far beyond our size, our leanness. Our bodies are powerful and they're wise, they're strong, and there's so much power in just touching them, acknowledging them, honoring them. So now as your breathing start to feel the way that your belly is hopefully rising and falling. And if it's not, if you catch yourself, maybe you're breathing more up in your chest, or maybe you're just breathing in your lungs and your ribs, and you're not allowing that breath to fully travel down into your lower abdomen. start to become a little bit more in tune with that breath, allowing the breath to travel, expanding your ribs and your lungs, traveling down to that low belly, feeling both hands now rising and falling together with the breath. And now begin to tune into and notice whether you're breathing through the nose or the mouth or both. And with the next inhale, think about inhaling through the nose. And as you do, keep inhaling until you've reached the extent till you can't inhale anymore. You feel the way your ribs expand. Your belly expands. And now take that expansion out as well to the sides. Your obliques are expanding out. You go ahead and exhale to the mouth. Inhaling again through the nose. Feel that expansion on all sides, your ribs, your lungs, your belly, your sides, and now also your back. So your low back is now pressing into the ground. So you can't stick your fingers through under your low back. You're feeling that expansion on all sides now. Belly, sides, back, ribs, everything expands together. I like to think about it as almost like a wine barrel, expanding on all sides. And two, now think about it expanding up and down. So up into your diaphragm, feel that expansion, and then down into your pelvic floor. So it's like a balloon expanding on all sides inside. Hold that inhale and then exhale through your mouth. And one more just like that, a deep inhale here. Feel that expansion. Keep breathing in until you can't anymore and hold that. And release. And this is where now I'll start to tune into every single part of my body. And I like to begin by opening up my hips. So bring your arms down on either side of your body. Go ahead and press your arms and the palms of your hands down into the mat beside you, reaching your fingertips for your heels. So you pull your shoulders away from your ears. Find stability through your feet and your legs, and think about spreading the weight of your legs through your foot evenly, and then also into every toe, spreading your toes. Inhale, find that same cylinder of your middle, and then lift your hips up. You might hear mine popped a little bit. Hip bridges are a great way to alleviate low back pain. If you're finding that nice cylinder, that breath, and then you're fully extending your hips, engaging your glutes, your hamstrings, your low back. For me, this is always a good way to feel if there's imbalances across my hip, if one glute feels tighter than the other, if I've got weakness on one side. Hold here and then exhale and release down. And we're going to go ahead and do a few more of those. So inhale, find that breath, and lift and hold at the top, really engaging those glutes. You might feel your hips opening, might both popped a little bit. And then we'll go ahead and exhale down. Inhale up, engage, squeeze at the top, and exhale down, and inhale up again and hold, reaching those fingertips down towards your ankle or your heel, and then take your hands, pinkies down, thumbs up, reach your fingers towards your heels. Lock your shoulder blades down and in place. Keep that nice, stable cylinder of the middle and reach your hands up to the sky and then bring them as far over your head as you can without losing the cylinder and the core stability and without losing your shoulder position. And see how far they go. It's a great way to start waking up the shoulder and tuning in again to if one is maybe wonky, a little tighter. Inhale up again. Exhale down. Just let those pinkies touch the ground. Inhale up. Maybe you're finding a little more mobility or movement with each one. Pinkies touch, and one more time here. Inhale them up overhead. Keeping that core stability, tuning in. Exhale down, palms down, and lower those hips back down.
On the next inhale here, you're gonna take your thighs up towards your chest and give your legs a nice big hug. So here we're gonna find the kind of combative nature of pulling your tailbone towards the ground. You're gonna feel your spine long, lengthen as you reach your crown of your head towards the wall behind you. So you're lengthening your spine as you reach your tailbone down, shoulders are pulled away from your ears, and at the same time, you're gonna squeeze your thighs towards your chest. So you're feeling that kind of push and pull at the same time, the compression of your hip. And then also the feedback on your breath. So as you take a deep breath through your nose, you can feel your diaphragm pressing against your thighs. It's hard to find that nice cylinder. Getting a little bit of mobility here through your diaphragm. Working against the feedback of your thighs, and then exhale. Inhale deep again through the nose, feel that expansion. Still trying to reach your tailbone down, still feeling that lengthening of your spine. Tucking your chin a little, you might feel a tug down the back of your thoracic. Breathe deep. And exhale. And one more here, nice big deep breath in. And release. Now take your arms and outstretch them on either side of your body. Palms are down. Shoulders are still pulled away from your ears, keeping your legs nice and close to your body. Let them fall under control, maybe on a three count, slowly towards the left. Maybe they get all the way down to the ground or looking for a nice twist in that low back, and then send your gaze over the right hand. And here we're feeling a nice deep twist in your low back. Breathing here. And then we're gonna go immediately into a twist the other direction. It's a great time to tune into your back in general. Is one side much tighter than the other? What do we do with that information? As you're twisting here, take a deep breath in, and on the exhale, sink more deeply into that twist. Let gravity do its thing. Inhale your thighs back to your middle, and then exhale them all the way to the right, coming down. Shift your gaze now over that left hand. I notice right away that the left side of my low back is a little bit tighter. I acknowledge that, and I'll move forward in my day, tuning into that, making sure I'm paying close attention to my back, bringing my breath to my low back often. Inhale back to center now. And go ahead and give those legs one more nice squeeze here, lengthening your spine. Take a deep breath in. And on the exhale, go ahead and take your right knee towards your right armpit and extend that left leg all the way out. We're gonna tune into our hips again, this time individually. Squeeze your right knee towards your right armpit, and meanwhile, you're pointing your left toe. Take a breath here. Find that cylinder, trying to keep your low back pressed into the ground. Go ahead and switch. So now sending your right leg out, pointing that right toe, squeezing your left knee into your armpit. Now we're kind of feeling out each hip independently. And then on each inhale, go ahead and switch. And you might notice that one hip is a little funky, a little tight on this shift here, looking to maintain that cylinder the whole time. So low back's pressed into the ground, rotating back and forth. Noticing I feel my left hip kind of catch with each extension. So again, I know that left hip is tight, which probably explains why my left side of my low back is tight. And I'll take that information with me. Maybe one more time on each side. Bring both knees back up. One last squeeze here. Release the breath. Now legs are still touching. Bring your feet down, knees are back up. Outstretch those arms again. This time my right palm is up, my left palm is down. And now my thighs are further from my center. I'm gonna let my knees fall to the left as I shift my gaze over that right hand. A little bit of a different twist here. We're gonna start to feel a little mobility through the shoulders as well. And I'm gonna switch sides, finding that same cylinder as I rotate through. Right palm comes down, left palm is up, let my knees fall to the right, and now shifting my gaze over at the left hand. Inhale, rotate. And now we're gonna just move at your own pace. So whatever pace feels good here, rotating back and forth, waking up the nervous system a little bit, shifting the gaze, finding a twist through the whole spine as my gaze shifts the opposite direction of my knees and my shoulders are rotating internal and then external rotation here, back to center. Now I'm gonna go ahead and bring my arms back down by my sides. I'm gonna inhale and float that right leg up. And now here, I'm gonna take my ankle. Let's go ahead and take our ankles through a couple of circles each way. Really tuning into the ankle joint and then followed by the feet. So from here, go ahead and spread your toes. So if this is my foot, my toes are all spread, and then make a fist with your foot. We don't often spend a lot of time tuning into every single little joint in our feet. Even though they hold up our whole body, we should love on them. Fist, and then spread. And then grab behind that leg. With an inhale, gently pull it towards your center, meeting yourself wherever you are right now. Point your toes to the sky and then back towards your face, sky to face. Tuning in now to those hamstrings. Release, let that leg come straight up from the hip, arms down by your sides. With an inhale, find that cylinder and you're gonna lift those hips up. So again, a little more single leg work here. The goal is to keep your hips square. So we're not rotating, twisting, nice and square in the middle, arms down, exhale down. Inhale up, exhale down. One more time, inhale up. So through doing this, keeping that nice core stability through the cylinder, exhale down and then drop it down. We're able to tune in to each side, note anything that's off balance and also strengthen at the same time. Now inhale the left leg up. Once again, a couple of circles each way with that ankle. And then spread all your toes and make a fist. Spread your toes, make a fist. Spread those toes, make a fist. And then grab the back of that leg and very gently and intentionally pull your leg towards your body, meeting yourself where you are. Deep inhale here. Exhale, let that leg fall even closer to your chest. Point your toes to the sky and then back at your nose. Feeling that stretch alternate between shin and calf. And release that foot back down. Now bring your hands back to your center. Tuning in with that body again. Take a deep breath here. And if at any point you find your mind really wandering, escaping this moment, just like we do with the pain, acknowledge whatever it is that's pulling you away. I like to visualize acknowledging it, noting it, and setting it on a shelf. Letting it know, as weird as it sounds, that I'll be back to it. And then a really solid way to come back to the present moment and to mindfulness is to think of one thing you're grateful for. So breathe deep. Think of one thing you're grateful for right now in this moment. Maybe it's a part of your body or your body in general. And then exhale through the mouth. Awesome. And go ahead and take your legs up as though you're holding a giant beach ball between your legs and also a giant beach ball between your arms. And here we're still holding onto that cylinder. This is nice and strong, no gap between my low back, belly's expanded. We're gonna work through a little bit of, I guess, kind of dead bug situation here, working to maintain this intra-abdominal pressure as we move our arms and legs independently. So we're gonna start with just our feet. And if at any point you find you, maybe you've got some bridging or coning through the middle here, or you're not able to keep this nice stable midline, just drop your feet down and reset. You can also rest them on a stool or a chair, and you could just do the arm piece. So maybe you're just here for now, working on maintaining that with just your arms in this beach ball position. If you're here, that's great. Go ahead and take just your right foot, and you're gonna lower it down as far as you can without, again, without losing this cylinder, and back up. Exhale, left toes down and back up. If anyone here is postpartum or knows someone who's postpartum or works with those who are postpartum, this is a great tool to use to rebuild and repair the pelvic floor, the intra-abdominal pressure postpartum, great to do during pregnancy as well. And again, right toe down and back up. Left toe down and back up. One more each, just foot, right foot, and then left foot. You might feel a little kind of shaking through here. We don't do this kind of work very often, most of us, and even some of you might, which is great. And now keeping your legs holding that beach ball, let's go to the arms. So the right thumb is going to come overhead as far as you can without losing shoulder position. And back up, left thumb, and back up, right, and up, left, and up. And holding this intra-abdominal pressure, you should be able to speak while still maintaining that cylinder. So you're not necessarily holding your breath to hold that cylinder. And this all comes in time. And you want to bring your hands to your belly, feet down. We're going to take a pause here and reset. Nice deep breath in. Find that expansion. And exhale. And return to the beach balls. Right thumb now and left foot are going to move together. So the right hand comes up overhead. The left toes come down to the ground. And then inhale those back up. Left thumb, right toes, and back up. Right hand, left foot, back up. Left hand, right foot, and up. And let's do one more each side here. You might feel your hips talking to you a little bit, those hip flexors working hard. And then hands back to your belly, feet back down. Pause here and breathe. And now to get up out of this, you're going to outstretch your right arm, palm down. Instead of sitting up, you're going to rock up onto your forearm and elbow. So you're really feeling this oblique work. And I like to kind of alternate when I'm getting up out of those positions, right side, left side, just back and forth. This is how I get up off the ground when I'm playing with my daughter, thinking about always rocking to the side and engaging that oblique to get up into this tripod. And then you're going to come up to seated and take your right leg now, so that your shin and calf are coming across the front of your body. And then take this left leg, set the inside of your thigh down, and your left foot's coming back towards your rear end. So if I'm up, you can see I'm making this triangle here. And then I think about also having this triangle back this way. We're getting a nice internal rotation of this left hip. And the goal here is to try and sink this left hip down so that my hips are square. Really working on mobility through this left hip. It might feel very pinchy. It's just something great to work towards. Maybe you're already here. Bring your hands to your hip. Inhale your shoulders up to your ears and then exhale them down and back. And pause here, maybe close your eyes and find that same cylinder breath. So maybe you bring a hand to your belly, hips, whatever feels good to you, sides, back. Wherever you want to touch, to feel that feedback, to know that you're finding that cylinder and feel your ribs, your belly, your sides, your back, everything expand with the breath. Notice how it's different from laying down to seated. Bring your hands back to your hips, keeping the shoulders pulled down and back, reaching the crown of the head up towards the sky. Begin to rock this left hip towards your right calf, and then back. And with each return, so your inhale, rock this hip's coming towards this right calf. Exhale, rock it back and sink it down deep into the ground. Inhale, rock, exhale down, and then pause there. Go ahead and outstretch your arms now. Palms are up, reach those fingertips far away from you. And take your wrists through a couple of circles each way, and back the other way. And then wiggle every finger. Make a fist and spread. Make a fist and spread. Now palms are up. Look over your right hand. Rotate that left palm down. Lean to the right. Kind of like we did on our backs now, but we're seated. Rotate that right palm down, left palm up, lean to the left. And rotate back and forth here. Using the breath, really trying to lean into that twist. More twists of the spine, waking up the shoulders, feeling our bodies out. Back to center. Now take your hands out in front of you. Shoulders are still back and down, palms are facing each other. If you are having a really hard time getting your hips square, maybe for this next part, just keep rocking or just breathing here. If you want to get a step further, palms out in front, shoulders locked down and back. Breathe, find that cylinder. And on the inhale, without kipping up or using momentum, just a nice, slow, controlled come up off the ground.
fully extending your hips, squeezing your glutes. You're up on your knees. Hands are counterbalanced here. And then exhale, again, under control the whole way down. Return to seated and upright. We're going to repeat that two more times. Inhaling up. My hip, I can hear this one popping a little bit. This is a great way to find stability through the hips and the core. One more time, inhaling under control, come up. Squeezing the glutes at the top. Exhaling all the way down. Bring your hands back to your hips or your belly. One more breath here. Nice, deep, intentional inhale. How is your body feeling? Where is it tight? Where is it asking for love? And then we're going to, you have two options here. Because I'm facing you, I'm gonna do it a little more manually, but if you can muster it, a quick rotation. So you're in that same position, but now opposite. So your right foot's back and your left shin and calf are across your body. And this is fun to kind of work on too, seeing that mobility of the hips. Can you kind of rock back and forth? But I'm gonna come and just switch so you can see me from the front still. So my right foot's back near my rear end again. Now I'm in those double triangles just opposite. So this left shin and calf are across the front of my body. I'm gonna bring my hands to my hips again or my belly, wherever I feel most called to touch. I think we've lost a lot of, quite literally lost touch with our bodies in many ways. So touching, breathing, take a deep inhale through the nose. Hold that inhale and release. Now hands on those hips. Let's start rocking now this right hip towards the left calf. And exhaling, let it sink a little more deeply, squaring up a little bit more. Inhale, we rock. Exhale, return. Rocking and returning. Now bring those arms outstretched once again. Take your wrists through a couple of circles, trying to find some balance here, some symmetry in what we did on one side, we do on the other. Wiggle all those fingers. Make a fist and spread those hands. Make a fist and spread. Palms are up. Now feel this might be different now that we're in a different hip position. Now you're gonna feel a little more on this side. So palms up, look over the right hand, left hand down, lean to the right. And rotate right palm down, left up, lean to the left. Back and forth here. Come back to center. Hands out in front, palms facing each other. Inhale, find that stability and come on up onto your knees and shins, squeezing the glutes. Exhale, come down. Inhale up. Exhale down. One more time, slow, steady, under control. Inhale up. And exhale down. Wonderful. Bring your hands back to your hips, your belly, your body. A breath here. Breathing in gratitude. And release. Lovely. And I'll take a little bit of time now on our hands and knees. So we're going to rotate around now, pressing the palms of your hands and your knees into the ground. Push up through the shoulders, find a nice neutral spine, lengthen that spine, looking down at the mat or the ground beneath you. Think about equally dispersing the weight of your body through the palm of your hand and every finger. And think about rotating your palms out as you press them into the ground. So you can feel your shoulder externally rotating. So you're pressing, rotating, external rotation of the shoulder. Take that nice same cylindrical breath in and pull the ground apart as you breathe in. Feel the stability and strength of your body. Inhale, rock forward over your wrists. Feel a nice stretch to the forearm. Keep those shoulders locked in place. Notice that they're able to maintain stability as you rock forward. And then exhale, rock your hips back towards your heels. Again, keeping your shoulders locked in place, keeping that nice cylindrical middle. Inhale, rock forward. Exhale, rock back. Inhale, back to neutral. Take your right hand now to the back of your head. Push up through that left shoulder. And again, rotate your palm out so your armpit's trying to face forward. twist and open, reaching that right hand or right elbow to the sky. Exhale, bring it down. Think about touching elbow to elbow. Inhale up. Exhale down, elbow to elbow. Now we're getting some nice mobility through the thoracic spine and the shoulder. On this next one, take that right hand, and as you come down, send it under the left armpit and sink that right shoulder down. More twisting of the spine, a nice stretch to the back of that shoulder. And surrender here to gravity. Let gravity gently twist and stretch. Let your mouth hang open. Let the tension release from your jaw, your neck, your shoulder. Feel the ground taking it away. Inhale back up to hands and knees. Now we're gonna repeat on the left. So left hand to the back of your head, push up through that right shoulder, rotate so your armpits forward, twist and open to the sky. Exhale, elbow to elbow. Inhale, open. Exhale, close. Inhale, open. Exhale, bring that left hand now under the right armpit, sink that shoulder down. Breathe here. Inhale, back up to hands and knees. Now find stability through the shoulder, plant the balls of your feet and your toes. Inhale, lift those hips just higher than your shoulders. Your knees are still bent. You're pressing your face now back, looking down at your knees. Find stability here. Exhale, kiss those knees to the mat, and then inhale them back up. I actually like this as a great sub for a sit-up. If you're doing a workout in a class for whatever reason, there's sit-ups and it doesn't feel good on your body. This requires a lot of that core stability, hips, glutes, everything's working. You've done with the tension. Definitely building that core. Exhale, knees to kiss this time. Send your heels all the way down and press your face and chest back towards your shins. Hang, feel the traction. Walk your feet a little closer together. Inhale that right foot up, point your toes. Feel a stretch that left hamstring, that right hip. And then inhale that foot forward between your hands and sink that left hip down. And then in this position, I do a number of different things in this lunge depending on what feels good. I might bring my right hand in, drop that forearm down, twist and open. This is fun for you to get to play with. I could probably lead you in flow for a couple hours, but we are on a time constraint. I also will often, we can do this one together, send my hip back towards that back foot, keeping the right foot forward, toes come up, and I'll just fold over. Another great stretch. Singling out each hamstring, really figuring out which one's tighter. Inhale, come back forward, sink that hip down. Press your hands into the ground, lift that back knee, and bring the right foot back to meet the left. And then inhale, send those hips back up, and press your face back. Walking the feet closer together. Inhale, the left leg up now. Noting if one hamstring, calf, side is tighter than the other. And then inhale that left foot forward between your hands. Sink your right hip down. Breathe here. Again, choosing what feels good for you. Maybe you're lifting the knee, lowering it down, feeling out this nice deep lunge position. Sending that hip back again towards the right heel, folding forward over that left leg. Inhale forward again. Lift the back knee. Bring the left foot back to meet it. And then sink your knees back down into that hands and knees position. One thing that I do want to make sure that I touch on, because I think this is a really incredible indicator of and a great way to really feel our bodies out, is the bear crawl. I think it's underutilized and really telling and also really effective at building strength through your whole body, truthfully. So when I say bear crawl, what I'm looking for is we're in this hands and knees position and we act as though there's a glass of water on our backs. So I push up through the shoulders, rotate my palms out, find stability there, and then I flip my knees up, keeping my back flat. And from this position, I will walk. So I take my right hand and left foot and step forward, left hand, right foot, keeping nice and stable and still, finding a stillness through this movement. Right hand, left foot. And then I like to go backwards. If that feels good for you, you can also. Left hand, right foot, we'll step back. Right hand, left foot, back and back here. and then I'll sink back down. Often after a bear crawl, I'll sink my hips back between my legs, reach my hands forward, and just fall into this nice, solid, still position. And I'll typically do a few sets of that. It's a great warm-up for lifting as well. Really engages, helps you tune in, builds a lot of core strength. There's a reason why kids do this. I brought my daughter to one of the DNS seminars, and she was only, I think, 17 months. We got to watch her move. That was fun. Inhale, back on up. Then we're just going to go ahead and walk our hands forward. You can pick your knees up. Maybe you'll find a plank. Maybe you're in a kneeling plank, whatever feels good for you. And then a nice, slow, controlled lower, pulling the shoulders away from our ears, lowering your body down. Press your hands into the ground, lift your chest, squeeze your glutes, drop the tops of your feet down, and come up into a cobra, feeling that extension really through your thoracic spine. Look up. Exhale, come down. Rest your arms all the way down. Rest your forehead down. And then lay here for as long as feels good to you. Really, again, just surrendering. Let gravity sink your body down to the ground. Feel the feedback of the floor on your diaphragm as you fill your whole middle with air. Expanding your belly, your sides, your back. Take a deep breath here.
Laura, that feels fantastic. As everybody's in this place and everybody is connected, I just want to take a second to let everybody know we're going to put the links to connect with Laura into the chat so that you can do this conversation with her. And I just want to say on a personal note, that flow is awesome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm a doctor of chiropractic. And so the spine work that you're doing is invaluable. It would cure so many things if we did this.
And I used to go to the chiropractor like nonstop. And now I go. But I don't need to go like once a week, which is great.
Yeah, that's a fantastic flow. I love the embodiment and the presence too. So this is a lot to take in at once for everybody with embodiment and with the stretching and with all of these things. So please continue the conversation with us. We have the coffee rooms you can join us on and the Facebook group you can join us in. Please connect with Laura on her links that we have in the chat. And please consider buying the seminar. You can take your time and digest it, and you can watch it as many times as you want to. You can do it by the channel or the whole library, but that also allows us to put it on for free. So this session will be on for the next 48 hours, and you can enjoy it for free. And when people buy, that's what allows us to post it for the 48 hours. But again, Laura, I appreciate you so much. You're an authentic person.
Thank you.
And I love what you're doing. I've sent so many people to you already to check out your site. And so if you would close us with your one greatest tip for embodiment in our lives.
Trust and surrender, I guess that's two, but let's say trust your body, the universe, the trajectory.
That's beautiful. Thank you again, Laura.
Thank you. Bye everyone. Thanks for being here.